Zohran Mamdani got caught lying this week. The Democrat Party leadership can essentially be neatly split into two categories at this point. On one hand, you've got the empty vessels, like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. They're not really ideologues. They don't have hard beliefs. They kind of just blow with the wind because they want to stay in power as long as possible. On the other hand, you have the liars. And Zohran Mamdani fits very well into the liar category this week. When asked about 9/11, since that obviously happened in New York and that's where his mom, you know, Mamdani's running, he said that the real victims were not the people who died in the planes or on the Twin Towers, but the Muslims, like his auntie who felt embarrassed when walking through the city after the tragedy.
I want to speak to the memory of my aunt. Who stopped taking the subway after September 11th because she did not feel safe in her hijab.
So that's a horrible thing to say, obviously. No offense to your aunt, Mamdani, but I don't really care how she feels after 9/11. I care about what her religion did and what, you know, Mamdani's religion did as well. In any case, people did some research into Zohran Mamdani's aunt. Turns out she's never worn a hijab. Like, that's not her thing. Turns out he made the whole thing up. Which gives off Tim Walz vibes, by the way, like very similar to Tim Walz. You'll remember Tim Walz was allergic to telling the truth during his vice presidential candidacy. He would make up stories like fighting in combat or winning military awards or being the head coach of a football team. All lies, like pathological liar. And Zohran is the same. He does the same things. Someone asked him about this, asked him about his lie about his aunt, and he made up another lie to cover up the old one.
I was speaking about my aunt. I was speaking about Zerafui, my father's cousin, who sadly passed away a few years ago. And for the takeaway from my more than 10-minute address about Islamophobia in this race and in this city to be the question of my aunt tells you everything about Andrew Cuomo and his inability to reckon with...
Okay, so now it's his dad's cousin. And I'm sure tomorrow it will be his mom's, auntie's, wife's dog. Scott Jennings over at CNN sounded off about the lies. Couldn't have said it better myself. Here's what he said.
I watched a chunk of it. I didn't hear any words for the victims of 9/11, but he found the real victim, his aunt.
Is he?
You know, I mean, the victims of 9/11 were in the Twin Towers.
I mean,
those were the victims.
Is the implication here that he has to answer for the terrorists who attacked 9/11?
No, I think if you're going to have a press, if you're going to run for mayor of New York City, or have any position in New York City, and you're going to talk about 9/11 or invoke 9/11, you darn sure better start with the people who died in the Twin Towers.
It's really that simple. This is not hard, but for Zohran Mamdani, it is hard because he's a jihadist and he doesn't want to tell the truth about this. One of the big, I think, cover-ups of Zohran Mamdani, everyone is so busy talking about his socialism, which is absolutely, you know, it's a sticking point and it's important, that we have forgotten that he is a radical Muslim. And he largely supports the actions of those who hijacked the planes on 9/11. 100%. I'm sorry. I can't come to any other conclusion. When you look at what he said, he refuses to condemn Hamas. He refuses to condemn the phrase from the river to the sea, which is a genocidal phrase. And when you see the kinds of people he hangs out with and has endorsed in the past, it's impossible to believe otherwise. And just to show you, by the way, how this guy was raised, here are some writings that people just uncovered from his dad. So this is the guy who wrote Mamdani. You can see in the yellow, his dad wrote, if you're just listening, I'll read it for you. He said, "We need to recognize the suicide bomber first and foremost as a category of soldier." Then at the bottom, he says, "Suicide bombing needs to be understood as a feature of modern political violence rather than stigmatized as a mark of barbarism." It is barbarism. I find this rich coming from, again, the group that is saying Israel is genociding people in Palestine. Israel is not using suicide bombers, please. And yet they support this crap. So again, this is the man who wrote Zohran Mamdani, just to understand where he's coming from. And look, I don't believe personally that you have to be like your parents. I don't think you have to be connected to them. I believe you can be different. But nothing that Zohran Mamdani has done so far indicates to me that he believes otherwise than, you know, what his dad taught at this point. Despite his refusal to condemn violent attacks, Mamdani recently decided to bring on the tears for some sympathy for the threats that he's been getting from, you know, on his own life. Take a look.
I get threats on my life. On the people that I love. And I try not to talk about it. because the function of racism, as Toni Morrison said, is distraction. My focus has always been on making this a city that's affordable, on making this a city that every New Yorker sees themselves in.
So as someone who also gets death threats and cares about my family, I don't get joy out of seeing this. I think it's scary. I think it's sad for him. I don't think that he should get death threats despite all the horrible things I think he's going to do to New York. But I do have a hard time believing him. I don't think the tears are real. I the feeling of those tears to me is that they're not genuine, because he's made it very clear that he's a visceral, he has this visceral hatred for many groups of people. Capitalists, Jews, our military. These are people that he has spoken out against in very hateful ways. He's openly supported terrorist organizations. So if you're going to live by political violence, maybe you'll fall for political violence. I'll pray for him that that doesn't happen, but I do think his tears are hypocritical, and I think people should call him out for it. Unfortunately, despite the lies and the narcissism, Mamdani has won the election at this point. We're a week away, but these are the most recent polls on the ground. By the way, a Cuomo account was celebrating this, so that just shows how bad it is. Mamdani's got 44%, up 10% on Andrew Cuomo, who's at 34%. And the reason why Cuomo and their team were celebrating is because he's up 9% from before. But like, okay, you went from a 19% deficit to a 10% deficit. Like, 10% is not close enough, bro. Like, if you were like within 3 or 4%, then sure, that's a big win. They're not going to win. There's 0, 0, 0, less than 0% chance. I would not bet a single dollar. If you told me, Josh, you can bet $1 and we will give you $100 if Cuomo wins, I would not bet that dollar. It's not worth it to me, because I know at this point Mamdani will win. It's just not going to go any other way. And it's no wonder, by the way, we've allowed exactly what Democrats have always wanted. We have imported foreign voters to vote for foreign peoples. I showed on the show last week a graph showing how most of the people voting for Mamdani right now are actually foreign-born or had parents that were foreign-born. Here, look at this graph. This is some new data we have. This is the white population in New York City. If you're just listening, in 1910, it was 98%. Today, it is 32%. That is astounding. You want to talk about minorities for a second? This has always ticked me off. We talk about minorities. White people in the world are like one of the smallest minorities possible. There are not a lot of white people in the world. If you're talking about New York City, white people are now a small minority. If you're talking about California state, a lot of people don't know this. In California state, being white is a minority now, but of course not treated under the same protections as minorities are. So just to give you an understanding of how this graph goes down, again, if you're just listening, pretty much mostly white until the 1960s, 70s, it goes from 77% to 52% in a decade. And from there, just tapers off completely. So understand this. The white population does not mean American-born necessarily. Back in the 1910s, 20s, 30s, it included white immigrants. And why is that relevant? This is the most important thing. Because back in the early 1900s, we were allowing people to come to our country who could actually assimilate, who wanted to be a part of the United States and be American. You had people like the Irish, the Danish. They assimilated. They came here. They assimilated very quickly, like in one generation. That's why New York didn't fall into ruin, despite there still being lots of immigrants there. And in the 1970s, we decided, probably because we felt some sort of stupid guilt for Vietnam or other things, and you know, a lot of bad Democrat politicians as well, we decided that we should just take everyone. The Civil Rights Act went in, and we just said, you know what? We're a horrible racist country. We're awful. So we're just going to take in everybody. And since then, regardless of skin color, I don't care about that, because I just don't care. We took in people who hated America. That's how it is. They wanted to change it rather than being changed, and they were too different to assimilate. And that's why New York is the way it is. That's why they're going to elect Zohran Mamdani. That's why just 24 years after 9/11, New Yorkers, get this through your head and understand, this is crazy. 24 years after 9/11, New Yorkers are going to vote in a radical Muslim to run their city. Before we get back to the news, guys, I love interacting directly with you. That's why I've created my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that goes right to your inbox. It's completely free to you. And I write about stuff I couldn't get to on the show, either because of time constraints or because big tech wouldn't let me. This week, I talked about the crazy deal that Trump made with Argentina. Go check it out right now. New newsletters are coming out every single Monday morning. It's completely free to you. The link is in the description below. Is Candace Owens mentally ill? That is clear at this point. We know. But that's not all. She is also just nasty. She's a nasty person. This week, in her ongoing crusade to grift the assassination of Charlie Kirk, she has turned her artillery on Turning Point USA, which is a massive conservative organization, does a lot for the Republican Party, even though they're not technically affiliated, and just does a lot for America in general, and of course, who is led now by Erica Kirk, Charlie's widow. She has openly said that Charlie was betrayed from the inside, from Donald Trump as well. She said that earlier. She is now saying that Turning Point USA is lying and that they are complicit in the assassination. She has declared war on everyone who doesn't want to be a part of the grift. Here is what she said.
I do not want people to mistake what's happening right now or to wrongly assume my intentions here. So allow me to be very explicit, okay? I want war with all of you, okay? All of you. And there's a reason. I'm going to get to that reason in a little bit, but I want war with all of you. So write your articles, issue your statements, email the White House, reach out for comment, okay? Say whatever it is you want to say about me. I want war with all of you. Because I know if this isn't right. And there is no way you are going to convince me and the rest of the world that all of this is normal. We're not just going to keep on going and jump into a succession plan. We're going to figure out what the hell happened on September 10th, 1st.
To be clear, that secession plan that she is talking about at the end there is Erica Kirk taking over TPUSA. So Candace Owens decided this week to reveal some texts between her and Charlie. We don't know if any of them are real, of course. We never have any evidence for these things. She just puts them out. She never provides. It's just her word, right, against anyone else's. But here they are anyway. This is what she showed. She showed Charlie texting her. You're going to be the Iron Lady of America. By the way, this is in 2019. So she had to go back 6 years, of course, to find the most favorable text of her. It's fine. Let's just take her. Let's take it at face value for a second. Just say that these are real, which, again, we have no evidence that they are. But let's just say they are. If you're just listening, I'll read them for you. Charlie says, I see it so freaking clearly. I might be Moses, though. I might not see this whole thing through, LMAO. If that's the case, be my David. And then she says, dude, you don't even realize your power yet. If I tell you the true prophecy, I know in my gut it's really sad, but I hope it's wrong. Okay, kind of weird. I don't know if Charlie talked this way, but I didn't know him, so maybe, okay. He continues, said, anyway, I'm not sure if I'll live to see the end of this revolution. I believe you are the peace God meant me to meet that will finish the fight. Since the beginning of TPUSA, I knew in my gut that I might get wiped out at any time. I cannot explain it, but I dream about it all the time, like all the time. Anyway, that's depressing combo for another time, LMAO. And she says, that's so weird. More a fear of manifestation than actualization. Interesting. So according to those texts, which are from 2019, again, and I don't see why they'd be fabricated. I'm going to just take them at face value. According to those texts, Charlie is saying, you know, he's prophesying, saying, I feel like I'm going to be offed. And of course, Candace Owens was a beast in 2019. I don't think anyone would disagree. She's a very, very different person now. And the reason I show you these texts is to show you what Candace is doing. There's a reason she didn't go back to texts from 2024 or 2023. Probably she doesn't really have many with Charlie because it's clear that they didn't have much of a relationship towards the end of his life. But the reason why is because she wants to be the heir to Charlie Kirk. She talked about the secession plan in that video. She does not like the fact that Erica Kirk is in charge. She hates it. She wants to be the heir to Charlie Kirk. She wants to replace him. That is why she goes 6 years back in her text to find the best text possible. She needs to rewrite history and show everyone how he commissioned her to be the successor. Because again, all of this comes down to money for her. One of the big questions that I've had for Candace Owens and Candace Owens bros is if she really has all this inside info, if she's really that awesome muckraker who's going out finding these new conspiracies and bringing them to light, if all of that was true, why not release it? Why not release it in one day? She has been releasing a text message here, a private text there, a little bit here or there, never all at once, ever. And if you look at her ex, she's teasing things. She's like, this is what we're going to talk about in a week. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. And my problem is if she was really being honest, if she really loved Charlie and his family, why milk it so hard? Why milk it to the extreme? She has made dozens and dozens of episodes on Charlie Kirk and his assassination at this point, pretty much every episode for the last 6 weeks. And the reason why she's milking it is because of money. She knows people will tune in, so she draws it out. Just to be clear, I think she's made hundreds of thousands. Just from an insider perspective, someone who works in this industry, understands the monetization. I think she's made hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point, which is a lot of money. A lot of money to talk about the death of your friend in a weird way while also disparaging his widow wife. And she acts like she's providing evidence when in reality it's just more speculation. That's what she does. One of her new pieces of evidence, I say in quotes, for example, is she released a new video of a Turning Point employee right after Charlie was taken out. We have it, that video as well, to show you. Here it is.
He's dead. God help him.
Okay, so weird, like, right? It's a kind of a weird way for someone to act right after someone has been shot. What Candace Owens and her followers do not understand is that people act weird when tragedies occur. People freaked out that Erica Kirk forgave the killer or didn't cry when they wanted her to cry. And speaking from experience, when tragic things happen to your family, people don't really react the way you think they should. Everyone reacts in a different way. And sometimes they're weird. Those are, you know, there are those of you who are going to act stronger than you thought you would have. And there are those who are going to act weaker and fall apart more. And you just don't know until it happens. And some people don't do either. They just do weird, weird things. And that's what happens when something traumatizing happens in front of your eyes. Unfortunately, to become a grifting conspiracy theorist like Candace, you just have to ignore human behavior completely and just say, that's weird. They must be behind something. Erica Kirk must have somehow organized this assassination so she could take control of TPUSA along with maybe some other people in the organization. And basically, these grifting conspiracy theorists become robots. And if you're Candace Owens, you become a robot for hire. By the way, she tweeted this out this morning. Literally this morning, she said, for clarity, if Qatar ever offers me $120,000 a month to say what I already believe about Israel, I will be accepting. Sounds like the best deal ever, TBH. There you have it. That's the kind of person that Candace Owens is. She is basically inviting Qatar to pay her and admitting that she is aligned with Qatar in her ideologies. So here's why this is a problem for the conservative movement, guys. When a large portion of your movement is a conspiracy movement, you have become detached from reality, and that has big electoral consequences. You can't win when you're not aligned with reality. It turns out that's what we learned from Democrats in 2024. This is the closest thing I could think of. It's like math, right? Because math is objective, just like truth and reality is. You can make up your own rules with math if you want to. You know, you'll remember from school, you've got PEMDAS. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, right? You can just decide if you want to reverse that. You can just say, hey, we have decided in our new math rule, we're going to subtract before we divide. You can do that. You're going to get the wrong answer, though. And you can say it's right. You can just say it's right. This is it. This is the answer. But that does not actually mean that it's right. You are detached from reality. And that is what this movement is essentially doing. They are creating their own rules, declaring themselves right. And hey, like, they can be right. They can go out and say they're right, and they can make a ton of money like Candace Owens is doing. But that does not mean they're going to win. In fact, it makes it impossible to win. And they will tank the rest of the movement with them, and Charlie Kirk's widow is just collateral damage for them in their pursuit to make more money off of lies. The progressive left is a cult. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. Go check it out right now, guys. I talk about some wild, wild stories that big tech censors. Fortunately, no one can censor my own book, so it's right there. Go check it out. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the episode so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And if you're on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give it a rating so other people will see it there. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.